It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer. Kent, youth may be the age group most at risk of becoming homeless. And that is from the federal government. Says youth run away or experience homelessness for a variety of reasons. As part of our discussions about housing insecurity in Wisconsin, we examine the effects on young people. Call in with a question. Share thoughts at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Jolie Gunther is Executive Director of the Wisconsin Association for Homeless and Runaway Services. Jolie, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much.
Oh, good morning. I think we just dropped her there. Christine, we'll try to get her back. Christine Nadelsky is State Coordinator for the Education for Homeless Children and Youth Program, the program administered by the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction. Christine, welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning. Last year, more than 16,400 homeless students attended Wisconsin schools, and that's from your agency, the State Department of Public Instruction. How does your education program identify homeless students?
Yeah, so there is a federal education law, the McKinney-Vento Homeless Assistance Act, that requires all school districts to have someone designated as their homeless liaison. And so I work with all school districts across the state and work with the homeless liaisons in school districts to understand the nuances of the law, work on strategies to identify students. But ultimately, it's that person in every school district who is identifying students and ensuring that they receive services that they may need.
So this federal law, McKinney-Vento, really gives these children the legal protections to be able to go to school. How has it affected the lives of vulnerable youth in Wisconsin?
It's really, really key for educational stability for students experiencing homelessness. One of the really key factors of the federal law is students have the right to remain in their school of origin. And what that means is the school that they're enrolled in and attending. And then if they lose housing and they end up in a different school district, or maybe in a large city across town in a different school area, they still have rights to keep going to that school they were enrolled in. And the educational stability is so key for them, while everything else in their lives is in chaos when they don't know where they're going to be spending the night, when they don't know if they're going to have to move somewhere else the next day, if they're going to have to be in their car. And so keeping at least their education stable and keeping them in the school where they were attending, where they have friends, where they have connections with their teachers is really, really important to keep them have a sense of stability and really keep them on track educationally.
Jolie, let's turn to you. The Wisconsin Association for Homeless and Runaway Services supports school-aged kids. What's typically causing youth homelessness?
So, anything that is causing vulnerability for families is something that is going to impact all members of the family. And I think that's one of the first things to look at. If we look at where families might be out at with their own mental health situations, with the economic stressors, certainly conflict can contribute to that. But I think that we also need to look at the risks that are impacting everyone and know that those are likely to impact youth even more when they're within the home.
Do youth fall in and out of homelessness? Is there like a cycle to break here? What do you see?
Again, the vulnerabilities can be there, and certainly we might have brief episodes of homelessness where a young person leaves for a short period of time and returns to home. One of the services that our agency provides is shelter services, and those really are directed at addressing short-term crises. So in Wisconsin, we can provide shelter services for up to 21 days voluntarily for the young person while we work with their family. And our objective is to have them return to their home and to provide ongoing support that helps the family to avoid homelessness or running away in the future.
Christine, department figures show thousands of Wisconsin students are experiencing doubled up homelessness each year. What does this living situation mean?
We have about 75% of our youth identified as homeless in our schools in that doubled up category of homelessness. And really what that means is sharing the housing of others. And the law specifies that it's due to loss of housing, economic hardship, or a similar reason. And typically, families or a youth on their own might be fleeing an unsafe situation. And it looks like families living together, maybe a family living with grandparents, or a student, a youth on their own who is living with an aunt or uncle. And it's sharing the housing, but they have, you know, they may have a roof over their head, but most often these situations are not stable. They might be sharing an apartment with someone who all of them could get kicked out on a moment's notice because they have too many people in the apartment. It could be a place that where children are sleeping on the floor because there's not enough rooms, there's not enough beds. So this is the most common living situation of our youth experiencing homelessness in our schools. And it really is kind of that hidden homelessness that we don't think about. A lot of times people just think homelessness as an individual on the street or maybe folks living in their car. But really these doubled up situations are very unstable for folks, for youth, for families. And they might be in an unsafe situation in some of those cases too.
We're talking about homelessness among young people in Wisconsin. Christine Nadelsky there leads the state's Education for Homeless Children and Youth program. Jolie Gunther oversees the Wisconsin Association for Homeless and Runaway Services. You can join the conversation at any point. Call in with a question or comments, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Jolie, you work with state lawmakers to ensure runaway and homeless youth have access to supportive services in Wisconsin. Are recently passed laws improving access?
So I wouldn't say that we've necessarily passed laws that have improved access. I would say that we are working on legislation that will help improve not only access, but also the services and address some of the gaps that are there in existing services. One piece of legislation that was introduced recently is from Representative Emps, allowing for minors to access health care. This is something that came to our attention as we worked across the state on a youth homelessness demonstration project from HUD with the Wisconsin Balance of State. And as a part of that project, we had youth action boards throughout the 69 counties in Wisconsin that are included within that project. And those action boards repeatedly gave us examples of times when they were homeless and unable to access very, very basic medical care. And so we're talking about not being able to go to a free clinic and receive treatment for an infection that they had while they were on the street, a respiratory infection, something like that, or to receive services for mental health as they return into their lives, but maybe their parents still are not available and these young people are not within the custody of protective services. And so they're just falling into this gap of needing to wait until their 18th birthday to receive very, very basic medical care. And we know that that can't wait. And so that's one piece of legislation that we do have currently. Within Wisconsin, we do have designated funding from the Department of Children and Families that does complement federal funding under the Runaway and Homeless Youth Act to provide services throughout Wisconsin. They are there in each region of the state, and those services include counseling, shelter, information referral, access to aftercare following the return of the young person home. The problem is that we don't have sufficient funding to ensure that there are adequate services and that they are fully distributed geographically throughout the state. And so there are definitely areas in the state where the services are not available, and communities and law enforcement and families need to piece that together in able to address the need.
Are those rural areas where you're seeing the lesser amount of wraparound services?
So, yes, there's definitely an underrepresentation, I would say, in the Northeast and in the Southwest. And, yes, certainly in rural areas. And one of the problems is that those geographic districts can still be quite large. And so, you know, Christine talked about young people remaining in their school of origin. When they need to leave to receive shelter that isn't there in their community, that's disruptive to education as well.
Jolie Gunther leads the nonprofit coalition Wisconsin Association for Homeless and Runaway Services. Christine Nadelsky coordinates the Education for Homeless Children and Youth program in the State Department of Public Instruction. Be part of this discussion. Call in with a question. You can add your views, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Millions of young people experience homelessness each year across America, and that's from the research group Chapin Hall at University of Chicago. We examine how to address youth homelessness here in Wisconsin as part of ongoing conversations about housing insecurity. You can join in, call in with a question, share your views, 800-642-1234. Jolie Gunther is Executive Director of the Wisconsin Association for Homeless and Runaway Services, and Christine Nadelsky is here, State Department of Public Instruction, coordinating the Education for Homeless Children and Youth program. Christine, I want to return to homeless liaisons for a moment. What are their challenges, and how could their work be more effective with youth who have housing insecurity or are vulnerable to becoming homeless?
I think the biggest challenge we're hearing across the state, urban, suburban, rural, is that the needs of youth and families are so great. And the families that they're working with that are experiencing homelessness, there's a lack of services in certain communities. There's lack of affordable housing across the state. And in the role of the homeless liaison in a school district, there's not a lot that person has control over in those factors. So really, the homeless liaisons are doing a lot of case management. And the homeless liaisons are not, that is not someone necessarily that's hired just for that role within the school district. So it's required that every district identify a staff person as the homeless liaison, but more often than not, it's also someone who's a director within the school district, who does lots of other things, runs lots of other programs, and doing intensive case management with families is not always possible, but that's what's needed. So really trying to focus our school district homeless liaisons on ensuring the educational success of students. And that's a really big challenge when basic needs aren't being met for students. They're trying to figure out where they're going to sleep the next night. They need to get some snacks because they're hungry. They need clothes to be able to come to school the next day that are clean. Those are the needs that students are facing. And so the education piece, where we really want to focus on in schools, we have to meet all those basic needs first. Mm-hmm. And so really getting communities to be able to have services for families, I think that's just the biggest challenge of our homeless liaisons right now is really trying to meet those needs of students while also trying to get their educational needs met.
Jolie, what is the risk of sexual violence? This year, Wisconsin started a statewide anti-human trafficking task force. What do you hope that accomplishes?
Yeah, what we do know is that, I mean, Christine talked about situations of being doubled up. And to be honest, the situations that she talked about were even somewhat ideal within those circumstances. So this is a situation where a family has identified a place that is still safe, but certainly inadequate for the family's needs. In situations where there are not the resources to let the young person stay with the family, or if the young person leaves for other reasons, that results in them needing to seek out shelter. And while they might quickly exhaust resources that are safe places to stay, we know that there are those who watch and offer, and that youth often end up in places that are not safe for them. Nationally, 20% of youth who have run away or been homeless report being trafficked. And so that's one in five of an already very pervasive situation that we don't recognize because it's often invisible. When a young person is going from place to place and not on the street, as this population tends to be, we don't see them. But we do know that, according to the Chapin Hall data that you cited, 1 in 30 young people under the age of 18 experience homelessness within a given year. And that is across both urban and rural communities, but it looks different. And it's more spread out within rural communities. And so we often don't notice it and know that providing services is very, very expensive and hard to do. The Task Force for Human Trafficking, I'm very much hoping. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. What are you, very quickly here, what are you hoping for the task force?
Yeah, so one of the pieces that we have been working on is to provide legislation that is called Safe Harbor, which is youth who have, who are under the age of 18 who have been trafficked cannot be charged with prostitution.
We'll be watching that. I want to thank you both for joining us. Jolie Gunther there leads the Wisconsin Association for Homeless and Runaway Services. Christine Nadelsky, coordinator of the Education for Homeless Children and Youth Program at the State Department of Public Instruction.